Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street. Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you that this day is a day of victory, a day of prosperity, a day that will be honored, not just for our good, but Father, to exalt the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time together as your children to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through these lips, that I would say those things that we need to hear so we can continue to grow from faith to faith. And Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over Satan and his demonic forces. He has no place in these proceedings. He is defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as always, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father, in that name of our King and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, family. We are continuing with our teaching entitled Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week, we completed part two of this teaching, which is Atonement under the Old Testament, and began part three, which is Redemption the New Testament. Today, we will pick up where we left off. As I have stated each week, this teaching on redemption consists of three parts, which includes part one, God's original intent for mankind, which we completed several weeks ago. Part two, atonement under the Old Testament, which we finished last week. And then part three, redemption under the New Testament. Each part is necessary to understand and appreciate Jesus' redemptive work and our better position in Him. Therefore, if you have missed any of the weekly teachings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. I would like to start this week with rereading Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. It says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, the reason I'm reading this passage is that we had just completed the Old Testament part under atonement. And under atonement, the saints who were born in that time period, they were not considered sons of God, but rather servants of God. But because of the work that Jesus completed on our behalf, that's what we're examining, redemption, we are now called the Son of God. So I want you to pay close attention, family, because as Christians, we have a better covenant with better promises. We have a better position in Jesus. So to expound on that passage that we just read in Galatians, I want to highlight a couple of scriptures. The first one being verse number 4. So I want to reread that scripture, and then we're going to read a couple of verses with regards to that statement. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent for his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Last week, when we were together, we read John chapter 1, verse 14. We were about to go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, when we were cut off. But I do want to go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 today. So let's go there now. And I will be reading still out of the New King James Bible. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And the word or name Emmanuel means God with us. So here in the book of Isaiah, which is, of course, under the Old Testament, about 700 years before the Messiah had been born, the prophet was already pointing to the Messiah and how he would be born. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're talking about when the time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." The word Jesus or the name Jesus means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, all of these scriptures are confirming and expounding on the truth that when the time was right, God would be sending the Messiah. And under the New Testament, we have the privilege and we have the right to receive the Messiah and be the children of God, the sons of God. Amen. All right, let's go to verse number 6 in that passage from Galatians. I'm going to reread it. It says, "And because you are sons, God has sent for the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. All right, it says in verse 16, "The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, here is the key in that verse, because it says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, as a servant, in most cases, you would not leave an inheritance to your servants. But when you have children, you do leave an inheritance. If you have anything to leave behind, in most cases, you're going to leave it to your children. So that's exactly what God has done as a result of the work that Jesus completed for us. He gave us an inheritance that is eternal, and we have the right to not just receive the inheritance by birthright, but also to utilize that inheritance. And so we're going to be talking more about that as we continue in this lesson. But I just want to point out those two things. We have been changed or moved into the position of son, and we now have an eternal inheritance. All right. By accepting the gift of salvation, we have the right to receive the better promises and benefits because we are heirs together with Jesus. As we found out from the scriptures, Jesus completed the law and in turn was found worthy to be our sacrificial lamb and Passover. Remember, under the Old Testament, there was goats, lambs, bulls, doves, other types of livestock that was used to be sacrificed on behalf of the people. And under that same law, they practiced the Passover. Well, now this New Testament that we are under, Jesus has already completed all of that. He has completed the sacrifice and the Passover. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven," referring to the Old Testament, "that you may be a new lump," and that's under the New Testament, "since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." In this part of the teaching, this is the third part of Redeemed in Jesus, I will be highlighting some of the major redemptive benefits Jesus provided for each born-again believer and how these benefits will work on our behalf today under the New Testament. All right, let's start with redemption benefit number one. We no longer need a mortal high priest, the Levites, to intercede on our behalf. Jesus gave each one of us, not just that select few, the authority and power to come boldly to the throne of grace to speak to our Heavenly Father directly. Now, we all read under the Old Testament that the priests, the Levites, were the representatives of the people of Israel, and it was only them who had direct access to the Heavenly Father. Not so today. Because we are children of the Most High God, He is our Heavenly Father, we have the right and privilege to come to our Heavenly Father direct. And we'll be talking more about that as we read these scriptures. So let's start at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." All right, here in the book of Hebrews, which of course is found in the New Testament, we are given direction. Those of us who have called on the name of Jesus and have received Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have the privilege to come and petition to our Heavenly Father one-on-one. We don't need someone interceding on our behalf that is human. In other words, we don't go to the local pastor or the priest, the local priest or minister to speak on our behalf. No, we can pray directly to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and expect to find help in a time of need. Let's continue with that. Here's another scripture that talks about our position to speak directly to our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Amen. Now notice the beautiful descriptions, words that describe God's people that God chose to use. Not man, but that God chose to use. And He said in that first part of verse number 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the priesthood, and as a result of that, we can come before our Heavenly Father and pray directly to Him in the name of Jesus. It says we are a holy nation. That's right, we are a holy nation and His own special people. That's who we are to our Heavenly Father. He said He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, family, let's get an understanding of who we really are in the body of Christ, and then use the Word of God to not only grow in the things of God, but also to talk in faith and produce the blessings that God has already given us in the natural. See, the Word of God is true, and it's not going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it takes men and women of God who are studying, who are developing, who are using God's Word every day as a lifestyle. And that's what we need to do as Christians. All right, last verse with regards to redemption in terms of coming before the Heavenly Father. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Let's read two verses, 17 and 18. Acts 26, 17 and 18. Jesus is speaking to Paul upon Paul's conversion. Verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, I want to point out one thing before we go, before I add, or not add, but rather explain a couple of issues here. The word sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart for holy or religious use. So that's what God did when we received Jesus the Christ. He set us apart for holy use. And that is a result of us Christians being obedient to the Word of God. The more we study God's Word and come to understand who we are in Christ, the more we will set ourselves apart and not be drawn back into the world system with all its temptations, trials, and tests, but stand firm on God's Word and be the light that God wants us to be. Again, verse 17 says that Paul was delivered from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles that God sent him to minister to. And then notice the mission statement that was given to Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. I want to keep emphasizing that, because too many Christians are still living in the darkness, and they don't realize that they have been moved from darkness to light. And of course, the light is the Word of God. When you're living according to God's Word, you will exemplify a light, and people will be drawn to that light. Not only will you benefit, because you'll be blessed as a result of your obedience, but others will see that light and be drawn to it, and it becomes much easier to be able to minister to others, especially the sinner, regarding the things of God, because they're going to see that it is true in your life. Amen. All right, let's continue. This authority that God has given us through Jesus the Christ affords the believer a greater anointing and personal relationship that was once only for the chosen Levites. That's how special we are. We're the royal priesthood, as if we were under the Old Testament, under the tribe of the Levites. We are no longer second-class citizens of the kingdom of God, but children with the same rights as that of Jesus. Once we receive the gift of salvation through Jesus, God only sees him in us, and therefore we have been declared sinless with the same authority, privileges, and sonship as that of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I want to give you some scripture and verse that really highlight this truth. So let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Let's read verses 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Verse 15 says, and he, referring to Jesus, said to them, his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized. Now, I'm going to put a point right there because I want to explain that this baptism is not referring to water baptism, but baptism by the cleansing of the Word, which is Jesus. In other words, salvation. Let's continue with the verse. In fact, I'm going to reread just that section again. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now, I'm going to put another pin here because I want to explain to Christians, if you do not believe that these signs will follow, guess what? They will not follow. It's for those Christians who believe the Word of God and are willing to step out in faith based on God's Word to do the work that God has called us to do. All right, let's start again in verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, that is the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the kind of authority and dominion and power that Jesus paid for our purpose. In other words, for us to work the work here in this earth realm. That's the kind of authority that we have. So family, we need to get on our job. We need to study God's Word. We need to apply God's Word. We need to do what God has called us to do in faith. Let's continue. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, one verse, verse 19. Jesus is speaking. Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want to point out the authority that we have. It says we have the authority. Now, this term serpent and scorpions is not necessarily the animals, the little creatures, but rather Satan and his demonic forces that are going to come against us on a daily basis. It says we have the authority to keep those things under our feet and over all the power of the enemy. So, family, we need to exercise that authority and dominion in every day of our lives and over all the circumstances. And make sure that when we speak out the Word of God, that we always do it with the authority, power, and dominion that God gave us. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians. We're going to read from chapter number 1, verses 4 and 8. We're still talking about the authority and dominion that Jesus has provided for us as a result of us receiving the gift of salvation. This time I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 say, long ago, even before God made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. God decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his blood. Verse 5. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And Jesus did this because he wanted to. Now, all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son, Jesus the Christ. So overflowing is God's kindness toward us that God took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved and God has showered down upon us the richness of his grace. For how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. Amen and amen. So these scriptures that we just read continue to validate the wonderful work that Jesus completed on our behalf. We are in an awesome position because we are called the children, the sons of God, with an eternal inheritance, with the authority to keep Satan under our feet. Amen. And we have a direct response or direct connection to our Heavenly Father. Oh, family, I am out of time, but I do want to continue with redeemed in Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed? So please continue to join us on Wednesday at 9:30.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.